This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to see everything with new eyes, to discern and test the spirits that help us to read the signs of our times, to relish the things that are yours, and to communicate them to others. Give us clarity of understanding your word, and give us the courage and strength of faith in you to be worthy of being called Christians. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. One commentary I read on this gospel said there was so much here, it's hard to choose. Well, I read that gospel over and over all week, and I didn't get it. But the one thing that haunted me right up until the last minute yesterday before the five was the idea of authority. Jesus spoke with authority. What does it mean to have authority? I think there are two kinds of authority. There's the authority that is institutional, given to us by an institution. For example, if you have trouble with your meal in a restaurant, you send for the manager. He's the authority. Or if something's wrong with your room in a hotel, you send for the manager. He's the authority. Doctors are authorities. Lawyers are authorities. Teachers are authorities. Those are institutional gifts. When I was a lay, not Eucharistic minister, but when I was a lay parish minister, up north in a Catholic church, often people, usually mothers, would come to me when it was time for their children to receive First Communion or Confirmation. And they were upset because for some reason they didn't feel that they could receive communion with their children. And most of the time it was something that could be fixed. For example, a woman would come and say, I can't receive communion at my son's first communion because I'm divorced. Well, the church law was that if you were divorced and remarried, you couldn't receive communion. I'm not saying I believe that, but that was the church law. So I would carefully explain that it was okay, not quite okay, but you could receive communion if you were divorced, but you just couldn't if you were remarried. And since in this particular case, the woman was not remarried, she could receive. Well, she looked at me rather doubtfully, and that happened more than once. more than once. And so I said, you'd feel better if a priest told you this, right? And she said, yes. And so I referred her to one of the priests in the rectory. She went over, he told her the exact same thing, and she went home happy. And that was fine, because it all worked out. The institution had given the priest the authority to opine on theological matters, and people looked to the priest for the authority. And so now I am a priest, and right. And supposedly I have authority from the institution, the Diocese of Southeast Florida. But I know that sometimes when someone says something to me here and I tell them what I think or what I know, they'll agree with me and then check it out with Father Marty. which is fine. I said this last night, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but the thing is, aside from the institutional authority that Father Marty gets, both as a priest and a rector here at St. Joseph's, Father Marty also has the other kind of authority, I think, which is an internal authority. And as I'm looking at Dee, I'm also thinking that that's true of her as well. Dee is our children's minister. She has authority as the children's minister. She also has a little authority as the wife of the rector. But even if she, even if she wasn't the children's minister or the wife of the rector, she would have authority, an internal authority. And that was brought home to me when a man told me a story about his wife, who said to him one day, you know, that Dee Zlatick, she's the real deal. Well, she is the real deal, as we know. And that's what it means to have internal authority. That's what Jesus had. Jesus was the real deal. Yeah, he was. He wasn't a scribe. He wasn't a rabbi. He walked into the synagogue, and this was near the beginning of his ministry. So he certainly didn't have a reputation of any kind, and he was up in his own place in Galilee, where the people knew him as the son of the carpenter. Remember, they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? And some others said, can any good come out of Nazareth? But Jesus, without any kind of official institutional authority, no scribal training, the scribes were the guys who studied in the synagogues and the temple and interpreted the laws for other people. Jesus had none of that. But the gospel tells us that Jesus entered the synagogue and taught them as one having authority. That was the second kind of authority I was just talking about, the authority I attributed to Father Marty and to Dee. And frankly, to a lot of you. When I talk to you, you have authority. You don't think so, but you do. Jesus walked into the temple. He sees a problem, and he also knows the scriptures, and he applied them in his private life at home, with his family, with his neighbors, with his friends, with his employers, who came to buy the wood carvings that he and Joseph made. He recognized that although scribal traditions could open one to grace, they could also be a source of vanity, manipulation, and snobbery. Who of us has not had a resort to authority, and when the authority arrived, it was an officious little person who didn't even listen to us and really didn't care? So Jesus knew that the scribes could be like that. They knew everything. The people knew nothing. Now, at one point, he talks about putting burdens on other men's shoulders that you don't put on your own. So Jesus is teaching based on the same scriptures as the scribes, but reinforced with real authority, experience, humility, and clear vision electrified his hearers. It says they were astonished at his teaching. What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Now, we know that in the Bible, when the scripture writer speaks of unclean spirits, he's really referring to maybe mental illness or even physical illness that people didn't understand and caused them to be fearful, and for which there was, at that time, no resort. For example, epilepsy would have been one. A person who speaks with authority, internal authority, combines clarity of vision and compelling experience, and I would add an interior integrity. Integrity. You will notice that Jesus' teaching throughout the Gospels is consistent. He doesn't waffle, he doesn't flip-flop, and there's no division between his words and his actions. You know, you've all heard, do as I say and not as I do. Well, Jesus didn't have to say that, because what he said is what he did, and what he did is what he said. Jesus lived as he taught, and whatever he said and did was a reflection of his love. No wonder his contemporaries were amazed. Jesus' authority came from his consistent reflection of his Father's love and from the harmony that existed between his words and actions. The authority here in Mark is not power, which in Greek is a completely different word than authority, but rather authority as a willingness to know that everything to do with seeking justice serves. This is what Jesus' ministry is all about. Where did Jesus' authority come from? In the book of Daniel, God gave God's own authority to, quote, one like a son of man who was coming to restore Israel's freedom. Likewise, as we hear in the first reading, God promised to send a prophet who would speak God's own words to Israel. This was the authority that Jesus spoke with. Jesus' authority extended to power over illness. And so, when the man who supposedly has a spirit, an evil spirit that speaks out, notice the spirit recognizes Jesus. You are the Holy One of God. Jesus heals that man, takes the spirit from him. This is guidance for our own discipleship. We all know leaders who speak of values but fail to embody them, who promise clear guidance but use their power instead to serve their own ego. It's easy to wonder what to believe and to let a sense of anxious confusion affect all the aspects of our lives. But those disciples who can live in Christ as Jesus lived, with authenticity, will, through word and example, to be able to deliver others from this anxiety, which is an illness, and all the trouble it brings. We can do this. We live in Christ, and so we can help others to live in Christ, thereby relieving them of anxiety and worry and violence and concern. So we, like Christ, can teach and heal with God's own authority. The authority that Jesus had came from God, and so our authority through Jesus comes from God. Reverend Martin Luther King, who we honor this month, said, "The beloved community can only come into being when each individual person lives in love." Another way of saying that is when each individual lives authentically. The thought came to me at the annual meeting the other night that St. Joseph's is a beloved community. When people ask us why we love St. Joseph's, we can say why. We're not perfect, but we're trying. We care about each other. We visit the sick and serve the poor. We celebrate each other's milestones, and we grieve each other's losses. So let us then live as Jesus did, reflecting the love of God in our daily lives with family, friends, neighbors, exorcising violence and fear and prejudice and anxiety with the authority of gospel values, and therefore forming the beloved community from this place outward to the world. Amen.